Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 18. God says this concerning Ephraim: I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son, now this is God speaking concerning this one who had been bemoaning himself. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him, and I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. I've entitled this message, Ephraim Bemoaning Himself. And what I think is so amazing about this passage of Scripture is when Ephraim bemoans, the Lord is touched by this. He said, my bowels are moved because of what Ephraim had to say. Now, a lot of language in religion does not get God's attention. He doesn't hear it. He doesn't recognize it. It's not that he can't hear it. It's that he won't hear it, because it's so contrary to the gospel. John said, if we say we have fellowship with him, and a lot of people make that claim, I have fellowship with God, I pray to him, he hears me, I walk with him, me and God, we have fellowship together. A lot of people make that claim, but John said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, walk in the darkness of superstition and salvation by works, ignorant of how God saves sinners by Christ, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, John says, we lie and do not the truth. The Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In that day many shall say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? And in your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? And then shall I say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. A lot of what goes on under the name of religion, God's not pleased with. But when Ephraim makes this moan, God is touched. Now, I'm interested in that. I'm vitally interested in that. I want to know something about what actually moves the Lord. Now, we read about Ephraim bemoaning himself. Who is Ephraim? He was one of Joseph's sons, and he's quite often used in the Scriptures to represent all of God's people. God calls Israel quite often Ephraim. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 9 of this same chapter, Ephraim is my firstborn. He's my firstborn son. He's my child. Ephraim is a child of God. He represents a child of God. And God says, I have surely heard him bemoaning himself. Not flattering himself, not excusing himself, not vindicating himself, not justifying himself, not making resolutions regarding what he's going to do to make up for what he did wrong. I hear Ephraim bemoaning himself. This has something to do with mourning. The Lord said, blessed are they that mourn. This is talking about a mourning over sin. This is what God heard. This is what God was touched by. Ephraim bemoaning himself, mourning over his sin. Now, mourning, the best way to understand mourning is what you do when somebody that you love dies. You mourn. You can't bring them back. There's nothing you can do as long as they're still alive. There's hope that something can be done. But when they're dead, you mourn. You mourn over your sin when you see there's nothing you can do to correct your problem. And oh, how you mourn. And the Lord said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, this is very personal. He heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. He wasn't bemoaning about others. He was bemoaning himself, and it was an honest, honest cry from his heart. It was real. It wasn't pretend religion. It was real. And here's what he said. I was chastised. I was rebuked. I was corrected. And it hadn't done me any good. I'm no different. I'm just as bad. I'm just as sinful as I ever was. All that you've brought my way has done me absolutely no good. I'm still like a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, a wild bull who could not be yoked. There's no improvement. My sin is all my fault. It's willful. I can't stop it. And oh, how he bemoans himself over his sin. I'm a sinner. Sinner's my name. Sin is my nature. And sins are my action. That is what Ephraim is bemoaning himself. There's nothing I can do to change myself. I'm sinful. I have nothing but sin. Warning and chastening has done me absolutely no good. Now that's Ephraim's confession concerning himself. Now look what he says next. God says, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, it didn't do me any good. Now look what he asked the Lord to do for him. Turn thou me. I can't turn myself. I can't do anything about myself. I'm so sinful. I feel so isolated. I feel alone. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. All that can help me is what you do. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Now this sounds like a man who is too weak to do anything. And he's looking to God to do everything. I wonder if anyone listening feels that way about themselves. If you're an Ephraim, turn me and I will be turned. Now this is not an isolated verse in the Scripture. There are a whole lot of Scriptures like this. Let me give you some examples. We read in Psalm 23:3 where David said, He restoreth my soul. And that's the same Hebrew word translated turned. He turned my soul. He restored my soul. In Psalm 35:17, we read where David said, Rescue my soul. And that's the same word translated turn. David's saying, rescue me. I'm in trouble. I can't do anything about it. Rescue me. That's the same thing Ephraim said. In Psalm 51:12, David said, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Same word. Turn me again. As a matter of fact, three times in the 80th Psalm, three times in one Psalm, we read, Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Psalm 85:4, Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger to cease. We read in Psalm 85:6, Wilt thou not revive us again? That's the same word. Will you not turn us again? Give us life. We feel so dead, we need to be revived and turned by your grace. Psalm 90:13, Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Psalm 126:1, When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. They were in captivity. Yes, they were in Babylonian captivity, but they were also in captivity to sin. And they said, Turn us, Lord, revive us from our sin. We read in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21, "Turn thou unto us, O Lord, and we shall be turned." Now this is the desire of every believer. Turn me. I can't turn myself. I want to be turned. Lord, turn me. Here's some other scriptures. David said, "Iniquities prevail against me." Moses said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance." Isaiah said, "We've sinned, and in those there is continuance." Now, somebody like this needs to be turned by the Lord, don't they? Nothing less will do. "Turn thou me, O Lord, and I will be turned." I love what the Shulamite woman said. "Draw us, and we'll run after thee." Turn me, draw me, cause me to approach into your presence. Now this is the desire of every Ephraim. And who put this understanding in his heart? You know, for one thing, most people don't feel this way about themselves. They don't see themselves as this bad or this sinful. They've never had it revealed to them that they really are sinful. They've never seen their depravity and their sinfulness. "I'm okay. I'm doing fine." Only God's people feel themselves to be this way by their sin. Now, who taught Ephraim this? God did. You know what a blessing when God teaches a man he's a sinner. If you're ever taught you're a sinner, it's because God is going to give you the grace to look to Christ only as your salvation. Any sinner, he came to save. God taught Ephraim that he was a sinner. And what a blessed scripture this is. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, "I am the chief." Now, he saves Ephraims, men who cry out, "Turn thou me, and I'll be turned." The only thing that will do me any good is for you to turn me. Now, the Lord put this understanding in his heart, and the Lord put this desire in his heart. Now, understand this. Anything that you ask God for, he's going to put it in your heart to ask him. He said in Ezekiel 36, 37, he talked about all these things that he's going to do for the children of Israel. "I'm going to give them a clean heart. I'm going to give them a new heart. I'm going to save them." And he says, "I'll yet be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them." Everything I'm going to do for them, they're going to ask me for. So if you cry out, "Turn me, and I'll be turned," God put that in your heart because he intends to turn you. Oh, thank God for his grace. "Turn thou me, and I'll be turned." Now, look what he says in verse 19. "Surely, after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth." Now, this is what he had to say after he was turned. First, he said, after I was turned, I repented. Not before then, but after that I was turned, I repented. I was sorry for my sin. It's all my fault, and I'm sorry. It's a change of mind about sin. It's a change of mind about God. After I was turned, I repented. But you know, this word repent in the Hebrew is the same word that's generally translated comfort. The same words that God used in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, what Jeremiah is saying also, yes, he was sorry for his sin, but when he was turned, when the Lord turned him, and he was enabled to look to Christ, he was able to believe the gospel, he was comforted. Now, when you're turned, you're comforted by the message of the gospel. And that message is found in Isaiah 41 and 2. First of all, warfare's over. It's accomplished. This is the glorious thing about the gospel. It doesn't tell you what to do. It tells you what has been done. The message of works is do this, do that. Quit doing this, quit doing that. The message of the gospel is it's done. It's finished. The warfare is accomplished. And your iniquity, because of what Christ did for you, your iniquity is pardoned. It's blotted out. It's forgiven. It's canceled. It's no more. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, Jeremiah says, surely after that I was turned, I repented, I was comforted, and after that I was instructed, after God taught me, here's what I did. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Now, when God instructed me, when He gave me true saving knowledge, here's what I did. I smote on my thigh. Now, what does that mean? That means all my sin is all my fault. I can't blame the sovereignty of God. I can't blame my raising. I can't blame my circumstances. All my sin is all my fault. Now, my dear friend, until you and I come there where all of our sin is all of our fault, we'll never ask for mercy. We'll be trying to bargain with God and make this plan and that plan and strike a deal with God, and God won't hear. It's only when all my sin is all my fault that I cry for mercy. He said, when I was instructed, I smote my thigh and I was ashamed. Now, you're only ashamed of what you're guilty of. He said, I was ashamed. Ashamed of myself, yea, even confounded, humiliated, and I did bear the reproach of my youth. Now, what is he talking about when he talks about bearing the reproach of his youth? He's talking about bearing the reproach of his original sin. He was born with an evil nature, just like you and I are born with an evil nature. That's what happened to Adam when he fell. He became spiritually dead. He became a sinner. And everybody is born sinful. And this is something that a lot of people aren't aware of, but every believer is aware of it. You know, an unbeliever doesn't really understand sin. He thinks sin is more behavioral things rather than a wicked heart and so on that Ephraim was bemoaning himself about. But if I'm ever taught the gospel, I'm going to bear the reproach of my youth. I'm going to bear my sin. It's ever before me. David said, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, every Ephraim, he knows he deals with his sinful nature all the time, and he bemoans himself. But look how the Lord responded to these words. He says in verse 20, after Ephraim says, I was chastised, it didn't do me any good. After I was turned, I repented. And when I repented, I saw my shame and my humiliation and bearing the reproach of my youth. Now look what God Himself says about this speech. He says in verse 20, is Ephraim my dear son? A dear son to God. Is he a pleasant child? A delightful child is what it means. For since I spake against him, God's never pleased with sin. No, not in His people. He is never pleased with sin. John said, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And he spake against him. I think of what was said about David's sin with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah. It says the thing that David did displeased the Lord. And he's displeased with sin. There's no way he's accepting of it. But still he says, though I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, God says, my bowels are troubled for him. You know, he was moved to sympathy. That's our Lord. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. How can he be touched with the feelings of our infirmities? Because when he was on the cross, he was made sin. He never committed sin, but he experienced all the shame and the guilt and the sorrow, separation from God that sin brings. so he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And he was moved to sympathy with what he was saying about himself. Now, Ephraim's name means a double ash heap. What a name to give someone. A double ash heap. What is more weak and unstable than ashes? And he was a double ash heap. Yet, look what God calls him, a dear son, a pleasant child. Now here's my question right now. How can that be? Ephraim doesn't see himself this way. He sees himself as nothing but sinful. And God sees him as a pleasant child, a dear son, one pleasing to him. How in the world can that be? Well, there is in heaven, right now as we speak, a great multitude of people singing the praises of the Lamb. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. And they're in heaven singing His praises. And Paul calls them in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, the saints in light. I love that term, the saints. Every believer is a saint, a sanctified one. Every believer. It's not reserved for some super holy, pious people. Every believer is a saint. And he talks about the inheritance of the saints in light, this great group in the light. And Paul tells us that he hath made us meet, made us sufficient. He hath made us meet, fit, sufficient for the inheritance of the saints in light. That means all I need to be in heaven with that great group, I have right now. As sinful as I am, you've been talking about how sinful you are. You're fit to be in heaven. Sure I am. Sure I am. He has made me meet. I have the very righteousness of Christ. My sin has been blotted out, and we stand perfect in Him. And it's not something that's going to happen sometime in the future. He hath made us meet right now. Now, what is this meetness? What things say from your sins? In Matthew 1:21, we read, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And that's exactly what He did when He died on Calvary's tree. I was saved from the penalty of sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He justified me. I'm saved from the power of sin. What do you mean by that if you say you're so sinful? Well, there was a time I didn't see it. And that's when I was under the complete dominion and power of sin. But He's given me a new nature, and sin shall not have dominion over me, for I'm not under law, but under grace. That's what the Bible says. And saved, really, from the presence of sin. Ephesians 2:6 says we're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I'm united to Christ. If He's in heaven, I'm there too. That's how glorious this complete, full, free salvation is. 1 John 4:17 says, "As He is, so are we in this world." Is He holy? So is every believer. Is He altogether righteous? So is every believer. Is He perfectly accepted and altogether lovely to the Father? You know He is. So is every believer, because as He is, He's our meekness. He's our fitness. My fitness to be in heaven doesn't have anything to do with something I've done. It's wholly to do with what He has done. Oh, what good news that is to an Ephraim. As He is, so are we in this world. Now, Ephraim's bemoaning himself, and look what the Lord says regarding him. He said, "For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him." Now look at this next statement. He says, "I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord." Now I'm thankful for that word, surely. That means it's for sure. Every Ephraim, every one bemoaning themselves like he did, everyone who cries, "Turn me and I'll be turned," God says regarding every one of those individuals, "I will surely have mercy on him, saith the Lord." That means there's nothing you can do to mess it up. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. I will surely have mercy on him. Now, what is mercy? What is mercy? Well, you can't really understand mercy unless you're absolutely guilty and all your sin is your fault. That's where God does not deal with you according to your merits. He has mercy on you. His mercy is in the Scripture is called the sure mercies of David. David said on his dying bed, although my house be not so with God. And his house was a mess. And I think he was also talking about this house, his body, his sinful flesh. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. You see, this covenant was made before time began, when Christ became the surety of every Ephraim and guaranteed their salvation and guaranteed to bear their sins and guaranteed to bring them back to the Father. That's what he did for every Ephraim. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things. All my salvation's been ordered. Ordered in all things and sure. Absolutely certain. When Christ said, it is finished, the sins of every Ephraim were put away. And David said, this is all my salvation and all my desire. Now, I can say with David, all my salvation is found in God's everlasting covenant. Not only is all my salvation found in God's everlasting covenant, but this is where all my desire is. My desire is simply to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wherever there's an Ephraim bemoaning himself, crying, turn thou me, and I'll be turned. I'm so sinful, I'm so helpless, I can't do anything. I need you to reach down and turn me. I need you to reach down and come to me. For every Ephraim, God says, I will surely have mercy on him. And here's what Ephraim will do. Ephraim will look to Christ only. And that's what you're called on to do. To look to Christ only as all that's needed to make you perfectly accepted before God. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your requests and messages at ToddsRoadGraceChurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.